Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for this time together with your people. Thank you, Lord, from what we've already heard. Pray you'll bless us this day, bless each speaker, and bless our hearts, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I think we'll do a little review for those that weren't here yesterday and refresh our minds before we look at the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. We discovered, or we said, that God deals with Israel in many ways. And one of the ways that he deals with her is through wars. Through wars. And Israel's had three major wars since they became a nation again in 1948. In each of these three major wars, God gave Israel a marvelous victory over their enemies. And God was saying to his people, Israel, Israel, you are my people. He was saying to them, I love you, and I will protect you and bless you if only you will trust me and repent and turn to me. And God also deals with Israel, we said, in several other ways. Two of those ways would be, first of all, would be through anti-Semitism, the devil's program. The devil has a program, and God uses all that the devil does to glorify his own name. And so anti-Semitism is allowed by God to push Israel's back to the wall, so that Israel have no place to look up but to their God. And then God has spoken to Israel through the prosperity and blessing that he's bestowed upon them in the land since they've gone back to the land. The wonderful prosperity and blessing that God has poured upon them as they caused the desert to blossom like the rose. And God has said to Israel through those blessings, Israel, I love you. You are my people. And I will bless you if you'll just look to me. So God is working with his people, the nation of Israel, and he uses these various means to get their attention. Also, we said that there are three major wars yet to come for Israel. At least three major wars yet to come for Israel. We talked about last night about the war of Psalm 83, and we said that the indications of what's going on in Israel today is a scenario for that coming war, and we believe that war is near at hand. And then there's the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. And then there's that great coming war at the end of the tribulation period, the Battle of Armageddon, in which God will finally defeat the enemies of Israel, and the Savior will come and set up the kingdom for Israel and rule on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Now this morning, we want to think about the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Very early in the tribulation period, and I think we've proven that, and we'll try to prove that again this morning, this war takes place very early in the tribulation period, and it's going to be an alliance of nations that will come against Israel to annihilate her. An alliance of nations that will come against Israel seeking to annihilate Israel. And this will come after the peace treaty. It says three times in Ezekiel 38 that this event takes place when Israel is at peace. So it'll come after the peace treaty and after the temple is rebuilt and the worship is being reestablished. The first question then we want to ask and think about is who launches this war? Open your Bibles to Ezekiel 38 with me, will you please? Who launches this war? And here we have the combatants named once again, as in the war of Psalm 83. Ezekiel 38, 2. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, Bible scholars are pretty well agreed that this is referring to Russia, modern-day Russia. And verse 3 speaks about the leader of Russia. It says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the leader of this Russian nation, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, the Russian leader. Now, why is God against Russia? It sometimes appears that God is against people. Why is God against Russia? God is against Russia because Russia is against God. God is for those that will turn to him, and God is against those that will reject him, turn away from him. God is against Russia because Russia is turned away from God. Russia is against God. Russia is the only nation As far as I understand, in the history of the world, I'll have to talk with Carl about that. He has all this information at his fingertips. But I think it's the only nation in the history of the world whose official religion has been atheism. And Russia is against God, so God is against Russia. And Russia has oppressed the Jews for many decades. In the middle of the last century, the people of the West said, "Let the Jews go to the Russians. Let them go." And the Russians said, "No, we will not let them go." Until the 1990s, when the Union fell apart. And so God is against Russia because Russia is against God. My friend this morning, if you are against God, God is against you. And if you would have God, if you would have that whole scenario changed, then you turn to God and recognize your sin and turn to Him and seek Him. And God will be for you. You'll find Him. God is against those that are against Him. Now the second question, who are these nations that are aligned with this Russia in this attack? Look at verse 4. "I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth." Russia's going to come down because God is going to draw them down. Russia wants to destroy the Jews, and God says, "Okay, I'll lead you to destroy the Jews, to attempt to destroy the Jews." God draws them down. Keep that in mind. "And all thine army, horses and horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaw and bring thee forth." Now look at what it says, a great company. This is going to be a great army, a great company. It's going to be a great army because God is going to draw these people down into Israel. They're against Israel, and God is going to draw them down there in order to destroy them. And notice verse 6. It says, "All his bands and many people with him." This will be a very large Muslim army. We will see this as we go along. It's a Muslim army. And many of those Russian states before the USSR disbanded were Muslim states. They still are today. And they tell us that there's time approaching very soon when the Russian army will be made up, the Russian army itself, not these other Baltic states, will be made up of over 50% Muslims. And these are Muslim states that come with them. So this will be a very large Muslim army. It will be large because God will draw them. He will put hooks in their jaws and draw them down. Perhaps 50 to 100 million men will come against Israel in this war. And the manpower then, it'll be manpower rather than modern weapons because the peace treaty has already gone into effect. I think in Carl's material somewhere in Forcing Change, he talked about back in the 60s where a proposition was made for a peace treaty. They've talked about peace treaties all over down through those decades. And one proposition was that when the peace treaty signed, there'd be a central power that has nuclear weapons to threaten any nations that violates the disarmament. So there'd be this great time of disarmament. Now these wars, said this last night, these three wars will grow in size and intensity and consequences as they develop. They will grow in size and intensity and consequences as they develop. The climactic war will be the Battle of Armageddon, and when the armies of all the world will be involved, and God will draw them against Israel, against Jerusalem, down to Jerusalem. And the armies of the world will be utterly and totally destroyed. That's the final destruction of those that are opposed to Israel and opposed to God. So these wars will grow in size. The first war, Psalm 83. The second war, Ezekiel 38 and 39, they'll grow in size, and they'll grow in intensity, and they'll grow in consequences. And look at verse 6 with me. See these nations named now. Persia, which is Iran until 1936. Iran was known as Persia, or Persia was now known as Iran. Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shields and helmet. Gomer and Togomar, Gomer and all his bands, and the house of Togomar, and the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Persia then is Iran. Then we see Ethiopia and Libya. And Gomer and Togomar. Jimmy DeYoung stated that when he was in Turkey, he found an old map of Turkey, and the names Gomer and Togomar were on that map, two areas in Turkey. So we believe that this is Turkey, and Turkey will be involved in this war. Now, we currently see these countries that are named moving into the Soviet orbit. And this alliance between Russia and Iran and these nations is now forming. And we can see that now happening. And this alliance, as we said, will be a Muslim army. We're talking mainly a Muslim army here. But then look at verse 7. It says that Russia will lead them. Speaking to Russia, he said, the Lord says, "Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." And so Russia is going to move to lead this great Muslim army to come down against Israel. And Russia is going to lead them. Already Russia is defending Iran, working on behalf of Iran, and seeking to build an alliance with Turkey. And we see this happening. Now, Ahmadinejad almost daily threatens to destroy Israel, threatens to annihilate Israel. He recently urged the Islamic nations to come together and unite and form an army against Israel. He verbalizes these things. And so we see this scenario now coming into place. Look at verse 8 in chapter 38. "After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years." Notice, in the latter years. "And thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." There's that point again, that this will be a time when Israel's dwelling in safety. The peace treaty will have been signed. And that's the scenario. In the latter years, the end times, "thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword." That is Israel in the present day. The latter times, Israel's been brought back into the land. Now notice the timing of the war. I want you to get the timing of this. This is important. I think it's important to understand the timing of the war. First of all, when Israel has returned to the land. Now, that's today. Israel has returned to the land. Then second, it says, when Israel is dwelling safely and at peace. That is not today. They shall dwell safely, all of them. That is not today. Israel is not dwelling in peace and safety and security today. Israel has no peace, has had no peace since 1948. And we'll have no peace except this one brief period of peace that comes at the beginning of the tribulation period, and that will soon dissipate, and they'll have no peace until the Prince of Peace comes at the end of the tribulation period, until Christ comes and sets up the kingdom. And so it's a time when Israel is dwelling in peace, which is not today. There would be no peace until the tribulation period is over, except this one brief period of peace when the peace treaty is signed. It will not be in the second half of the tribulation period. Israel will be under tremendous duress. Two-thirds of the nation of Israel will die at the hand of Antichrist in that last half of the tribulation period. So it will not be in the second half of the tribulation period. The only time left in the whole end-time scenario before the end of the tribulation period, when Israel will have a period of peace, will be a brief period of peace when the Antichrist comes and signs this peace treaty. So that, I believe, clearly identifies the time of the war, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Paul tells about this peace treaty in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord," the tribulation period. Paul said, "I was with you for 3 weeks and I taught you eschatology." Isn't that amazing? Most people say eschatology is not important. Paul thought it was. He was there with them for 3 weeks and he taught them eschatology. He says, "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so at hand, because I told you that, I taught you that. And so cometh the thief tonight. For when they shall say peace and safety," when they shall say peace and safety, "then sudden destruction cometh upon them." The indication in that verse is clearly to me that Paul says there will be this time of peace and safety, but it will be very brief, because as soon as this peace and safety comes, then there will be this time of great destruction. The peace will be short-lived. Peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And it's a false peace that breaks down very quickly. Therefore, the only time of peace and safety for Israel will be this brief period at the beginning of the tribulation period. So the war of Psalm Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens very early in the tribulation period. It's important to understand that. That's a very important point to understand. Now, so we have then the war of Psalm 83 breaks out when Israel doesn't have peace, when they're being attacked as they are today. And then the Antichrist comes in that scenario that follows Psalm 83. We talked about last night, and we'll talk maybe a little bit this morning. And that scenario that comes after the war, Psalm 83, when the world's in turmoil, and there's great destruction, and there perhaps an economic collapse that's pending on the horizon now, and the climate will be set for the peace treaty, for Antichrist to come, and the Superman, this miracle-working Superman, to bring peace to the world. A brief period of peace. And then, when that peace is still in effect, the war of Psalm 38 and 39 will take place. It is possible, technically possible, that these two wars could happen within the next 3 months. It might be several years away. We're not setting any dates, setting time. But when they come, they could happen. It could happen very rapidly. That's the scenario that I think we're looking at. Now look at verse 9. Let's look at the invasion for a few moments. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. This will be a tremendous army of many, all these many Muslim nations around Israel. And the peace treaty has been signed. Israel has disarmed. I believe the world will disarm. I believe this disarmament will enable the Antichrist to gain control of the world. Everybody will disarm, and he'll have the central power. Perhaps the nuclear weapons will be placed in his hand. But this peace treaty will be signed, and the whole world will be disarmed, and the attack will be a surprise attack. Notice what it says about this attack. Like a storm, Israel and the world are dwelling safely. And all of a sudden, like a storm, like a cloud to cover the land, all thy bands and many people with thee, Russia and her former republic, Muslim states, an unbelievable number of Muslim peoples in these Muslim armies descending on Israel in a surprise attack to utterly destroy Israel. That's the purpose of the devil. My, how he's worked at it down over the ages. My, how he's working at it today. My, how he continue to work it. The devil never takes no for an answer until God gives him the final no and casts them into the lake of fire. And so this great army will come descending on Israel. Notice verse 11. Remember, Iran has claimed to have a 10 million man army and a 1 million man militia, or a million man army and a 10 million man militia. So there's 11 million people right there. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up the land of unwalled villages. That used to trouble me back in the 80s and 70s and 80s, and I'd read that and say, what unwalled villages? Why, there's never been any, there's no walls in modern Israel. Why bring that up? Well, in about the 90s, they started to build walls. And today they have these walls around their cities in the West Bank and around Israel. And I suppose with this peace treaty comes, Israel will relax and tear down the walls. The nations will be saying, just tear down the walls. And so they'll tear down the walls. I'll go to them and up the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest. Israel has no rest today. Israel will have no rest except this brief period of peace until Christ comes and gives them the true peace. The Prince of Peace comes and gives the true peace. And they're at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. And so Israel will be relaxed, like the war of 1973. And then the surprise attack will come. Notice what it says, to take a spoil. And to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. That's Israel. God's people who he's brought back to his land. And they're going down there to attack them and destroy them, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. The setting then is a setting of Israel relaxed and enjoying peace. That's very early in the tribulation period. Look at verses 14 and 15. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people Israel, circle those words. You look at Israel today and see how the nations are trying to destroy them, and Israel's done, and we're going to divide the land and take it from them, and we're going to annihilate them. God says, they are my people. Israel is going to, there will always be an Israel. The people and the nations are not going to destroy Israel. Israel, my people of Israel, dwellest safely. Shalt thou not know it? Russia, you'll know. when they're dwelling safely, and you're going to come against them. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou, and there it is again, many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, and a great company, and a mighty army. This is going to be a vast, mighty army of Muslim peoples that are going to come against Israel. And God is going to draw them down there. Notice it says, dwelling safely. And God is going to bring Russia with this mighty army. And this is going to be a showdown between Jehovah and Allah. Israel are the people of Jehovah. This God Allah is the God of this Muslim army. And this will be a showdown between Jehovah and Allah. Now, the war of Psalm 83 introduced that showdown. When these Muslim armies are going to come, those that dwell right on Israel's borders, and when Israel are going to come against Israel, and the first part of the showdown, they're going to be annihilated. They're going to be destroyed by God. And the Muslim people are going to scratch their heads and say, how come Allah lost that war? But then when we come to this war, it's going to be a great showdown between Allah and Jehovah. Who is the God? 1.2 or 1.5 billion Muslims believe that Allah is the God. And He's not the God. Jehovah's the God. And God's going to show them who the God is. That Jehovah is the God, not Allah. Now, notice the weapons. Go back to verse 38, verse 4. Look at this verse again. And I will turn thee back, put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. All of thine army and horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, I don't want to go into the discourse as to what those weapons will be, but it seems to me that this is an indication the peace treaty has taken place, and all the modern weapons of war have been put aside. They've all actually probably come into Antichrist's warehouse, and he'll have all the power. One way is he'll come to great power. But it seems like these are primitive weapons. And notice the great company. It's as if this great huge army could come down and with their bare hands strangle every living Jew without needing any weapons. Well, they'll probably bring their Kalashnikovs, their rifles. But this is not going to be a nuclear war. This is not going to be a war of missiles. This is not even probably be a war of tanks. It's going to be a war of men that come with primitive weapons against Israel. A great company that will overwhelm, that intend to overwhelm Israel. Now, notice verse 39, the burning of the weapons. This is very interesting. It used to trouble me years ago as I read this. And you know, when you come to something in the Bible you don't understand, get yourself a pigeonhole and put it in a pigeonhole spot and just leave it there and forget about it. And as you study the Word of God, somewhere down the line the light will come on and you'll see that explains that thing. Look at this verse 4, the weapons. And I will turn thee back, and a great company of them, bucklers, shields, all of them handling swords. Now, I think that the great numbers will just think they can overwhelm Israel without weapons. Oh, we were in verse 9. I got carried away there. When I get carried away, snap your finger, wake me up. Verse 9. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows, the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Now, that used to bother me. How do you burn rifles? Well, a few years ago, I saw a picture on the internet of 25,000 rifles stacked up in a great stack, and they were going to burn them. I thought to myself, what would this Jewish mind that can work a cash register and turn things into gold, what would they do with all these weapons? Well, they'd gather up all those rifle butts, 50 million rifle butts, and bundle them up and sell them one bundle for $10 or something like that. And there'd be enough wood there to keep Israel going for the next 7 years. Well, how would they burn the steel? That bothers me. Well, the old Jewish mind will say, here, we can make some money here. Let's get all these rifles and smelt them down and sell the steel. And so here they're going to burn the weapons. Now notice that now the verse closes. They're going to burn the weapons with fire 7 years. Here we have again the burning of the weapons for 7 years. And so that indicates that this war takes place early in the tribulation period. Remember, in the chronology of the kings in the Old Testament, any portion of a year that a king reigned was counted a year, a full year. And so here we have this burning, so that the battle takes place very early in the tribulation period. That's significant as you study end time prophecy. Keep that in mind. And so the burning of the weapons. Now notice the final outcome in verse 18 of 38, the final outcome. And this is important. We need to understand this. It helps us understand how the whole end time scenario is going to play out. The final outcome. And as you come to pass, verse 18, at the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God. Now notice, this happened in the war of Psalm 83, and it's happening again. My fury shall come up in my face. You blaspheme God. You blaspheme the people of God. You attack the people of God, and God gets angry. And God will judge. And God's anger is going to come up in His face. And God is going to judge this alliance of nations that's going to come against Israel. Israel will not fight this battle. God will fight this battle. Look at verse 22. And I will plead or judge against him with pestilence and with blood. Notice disease and blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people who are with him. And overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. What a battle this is going to be. God is going to shed their blood. God is going to send pestilence. God is going to send hail and fire and brimstone down from heaven. And this great Muslim army will be, 5 out of 6 will be, they'll be gone. Don't you think God will get the world's attention? Don't you think God is seeking to get the world's attention? And overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstones. And millions that believe that Allah was God are going to be put to death by Jehovah. Look at chapter 39, verse 2. And I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. 5 out of every 6 in this Muslim army are going to die at the hand of God. The 1 out of every 6 are going to be left to go back and be a witness to the world is what has happened, that God has done this. What a destruction. And will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. This war will take place in the mountains of Israel. The war of Psalm 83 will take place on the plains, and the Armageddon will take place in the Valley of Megiddo. Now, notice, if this army represents 50 million people, that means 40 million of them will die. What a shock this is going to be to the Islamic world. God is going to draw these Muslim armies to destroy them. Now, look at verse 6. That's not all. Chapter 39, verse 6. And I will send fire upon Magog, that's back in the homeland of these nations, and among all them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And God's going to destroy the homelands of these nations. And notice the reason. And they shall know that I am the Lord. God, I think, is getting a little impatient that half the world thinks that Allah is God, or a great portion of the world thinks God is going to show the world who the real God is. And God is going to give this great destruction. Look at the purpose in verse 6 again. Look at it again. The last part of the verse, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Go back to chapter 38 and look at verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and I shall bring in the latter days, and I'll bring against my land that the heathen may know me. You see, when the rapture takes place, there will not be a living believer on the face of the earth. God will be without a witness for that period of time, however long that lasts. God will be, and God will give His own witness. God is going to give His own witness to the world through this destruction upon these army. God is going to be a witness to Islam that He is the God and not Allah. God is going to be a witness to Russia. And God is going to be a witness to Israel. Listen up, Israel, I'm your God. And God is going to give a witness to the whole world through this tremendous event. Now, what an awesome witness that is going to be to the world. Look at chapter 38, verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. This destruction is going to be the wrath of God upon this army. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep on the earth and all men that are upon the face of the earth, this is going to be a worldwide earthquake, shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. God is going to shake the earth at that time. God is going to give a witness to the whole world. This will be a witness that no one can ignore. Now, April the 18th, there was an item on the internet, the news, that said a leading earthquake scientist, and I quote, a leading earthquake scientist has warned that the planet could be cracking up after a series of massive earthquakes in just 48 hours. Expert George Marmuran said, I quote, there's no doubt something is seriously wrong. There have been too many strong earthquakes in recent months, and it seems that the earth may be cracking up. If the war of Psalm 83 and the war of Ezekiel 39, this war is not far away, maybe God's getting the earth ready for this great earthquake that's going to shake the world. Look at verse 21, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. They're going to turn on each other. Israel will not be involved in this war at all. And I will plead or judge against him with pestilence blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him an overflowing rain, great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Ahmadinejad is now calling for an alliance of Muslim nations to come together to destroy Israel. That's a setting for the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Folks, we don't have to be rocket scientists to understand the word of God. Excuse me. We see the scenario now forming. Listen to the actual words of Ahmadinejad, and I'll quote them for you. The skirmishes in occupied land are part of a war of destiny, the outcome of hundreds of years of war that will be defined in Palestinian land. As the Imam said, Israel must be wiped off the map. They're preparing for the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many goes on to state, and I quote, if the West does not support Israel, this regime will be toppled. As is lost its raison d'etre, Israel will be annihilated. Israel is a tyrannical regime that will one day be destroyed. Now notice this, listen to this next quote. Israel is a rotten dried tree that will be annihilated in one storm. You think the Spirit of God is saying something to our generation? He uses the very words that Ezekiel used. Amazing to see after 2,600 years, the things that Ezekiel told us about are now coming to place. Are now coming to place. Ezekiel 38:9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. And Ahmadinejad uses those words. The Spirit of God put them in his mouth. Do you suppose the Spirit of God is saying something to us? And Ahmadinejad goes on to say, anybody who recognizes Israel will burn in the fires of the Islamic nation's fury. And that's what the terrorism is all about today. Those that recognize Israel, those that will not turn against Israel, have the Islamic wrath poured out upon them through terrorism. The threat. And then he goes on to say, he concludes, remove Israel before it is too late and save yourself from the fury of regional nations. The president of Iran is now threatened to do and planning to do exactly what Ezekiel said he would do. Folks, we need to understand the word of God. We need to realize that that this thing is approaching. We're living in that day. And we're on the threshold of that coming war. Verse 39, I'll read this once again. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, and thou and all thy bands with thee, and many people with thee. 2 years ago, the Hamas sent a letter to the United Nations, an official letter, and it said the Palestine is Arab Islamic land from the river to the sea, including Jerusalem, and there's no room for Jews in it. We have to be dummies to take this portion of God's word and read the newspaper and realize that this thing is about to happen. It's about to come upon us. Jesus is coming. I talked about that for a moment last night. I'll talk about it again. I can't help but talk about it because it thrills my soul. One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. and we're going to be caught up in the presence of God, those that know the Lord. The old sin nature will be gone forever. Won't you shout hallelujah when that happens? And we'll be in the presence of Christ to be like Him, gathered around the throne of God, worshiping the Lord with all of those that have gone on before us. And that could happen in a moment. Look at yourselves in the mirror and realize who you are as the people of God, and rejoice, and don't be worrying about the bills you have to pay and worry about the troubles you have. You're a blessed people. And if you're not saved this morning, get saved before you leave here today. Jesus is coming. Now let me summarize. I keep summarizing because I tell you what I'm going to say, and then I say it, and I tell you what I said, okay? That's supposed to be good teaching. I don't know. But let me summarize again. The war of Psalm 83 has taken place at this point, and it's prior to the tribulation period. And the Islamic nations all around Israel's borders, and the Palestinian people within, have been involved in this war. And they've been utterly devastated, according to Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 35 and 36. And there's no group left to contest the land for Israel. There's no more thought of dividing the land. That will come again in the last half of the tribulation period. But at this point, the peace treaty can be signed. Israel can have peace. They can have their temple mount and have the whole land of Israel. Antichrist will support them in that. He has a purpose. You see, Antichrist Satan wants to be worshipped as God. And if he has to do it through Antichrist to get the thing ball rolling, he does it. But Satan not only wants to be worshipped as God, get the audacity of this now, he wants to be worshipped in the very place that God has been worshipped in the past. God has been worshipped in the temple. And he wants to be worshipped as God in the temple. And so one of his programs is to help Israel get the temple built and the worship reestablished, so that he can lead the world to worship him as God in the place where God has been worshipped. And so, and then number three, after this war of Psalm 83, the world will be left shaken. They'll be shaken. And we said that possibly this economic collapse that's got to come, that's certain to come, according to many, many economists, that will take place, and the world will be in an awful pickle. And the stage will be set then for Antichrist and disarmament to come upon the scene. Islam will believe that Antichrist is their Mahdi. Israel will believe that he is their Messiah. And the apostate Christianity will believe that he is Jesus Christ. That seems incredible, doesn't it? We'll deal with that in a few minutes, how that can happen. And the peace treaty will be short-lived. As Paul said, peace and safety, then sudden destruction. It'll be a short-lived peace. But the whole world will be deceived. A few months into the tribulation period, Islam are going to say, Antichrist is not our Mahdi. He's not going to destroy Israel. We've been fooled. We've been deceived. And so they're going to move then to come up against Israel in the war of Psalm 38 and 39. Islam will suffer great destruction in this war, as we've already said. God will come, and obviously the whole world will know that God has destroyed Islam. And Islam will no longer be a factor in world affairs from that point, early in the tribulation period, on. The idea that a worldwide Islamic caliphate is going to be the kingdom of Antichrist doesn't fit in. The idea that Antichrist is going to be an Islamic Antichrist doesn't fit in. Islam will be out of the scenario for the whole tribulation period. And when the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is over, there'll only be one person standing. That'll be Antichrist. All the oil of the Middle East will be his. And then the great kingdom of Antichrist can move forward. Folks, what in the world are you living for? I ask you, what are you living for? Are you living for the stupid, foolish things of this world? Are you living to squeeze a little more joy or out of the world's entertainment system? What are you living for? There's only one thing that's worth living for in all of this world, and that's living to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And if you live that way, then when the trumpet sounds and you're caught up and Jesus is there to receive us, you can look Him right in the face without any fear of consequences or any fear of failure. And there'll be nothing between you and the Savior. The Bible tells us that some will not be like that. Some will be ashamed at His coming. I don't want to be ashamed at His coming. But if we live for the things of this world, we'll be so ashamed, we'll hardly be able to look Him in the eye. There's only one thing in the world worth living for, and that's to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we marvel at Your wisdom and at Your plan. Lord, we thank You that we're a part of that plan. Lord, help us to live day by day, that our lives might be a burnt sacrifice. Our lives might be consumed with a single purpose of pleasing You and glorifying Your name. Bless us now as we continue in this conference. In Jesus' name, amen.